One more thing.
If the children, please, will meet with their Sunday school teacher right there in the back, they will take you out and bring you back.
That sounds like a threat.
The bringing back part?
No, taking them out. Would you join me in the call to worship? The psalmist sings, "One thing I ask of the Lord, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life.
To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in God's temple."
Sisters and brothers, God is good, and in love and mercy greets us here. Amen.
Amen.
And if you turn to page 881 to join me with the Apostles' Creed. Usually say it from memory, but I better read it in case I make a mistake here. Well. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, who born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead.
He ascended into heaven
and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Please turn in the Faith We Sing book to page 2055 and sing together, "You Are My Hiding Place." Seated.
God, our light and our salvation, does not forsake us or leave us with our sin. In Christ, we are forgiven and offered the gift of healing repentance. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Now, I think we'll do the offering. I think Bruce is going to do a solo.
I'm just following.
You're here.
Oh, I skipped a whole section.
Wow. All right. Maybe I'm just in a hurry. Merciful God, excuse me, would you join me in the prayer of confession? Merciful God, you have made us citizens of heaven, but we confess that we have set our minds on earthly things. We have let our desire for security restrain our commitment to serve the poor. We have let our fear of danger curb our obligation to love our enemies. We have let our love of things dull our generosity to the needy.
We have let our cravings for public status prevent our honesty about hidden sins. Yet you know the desires of our heart, and nothing is hidden from you. By the power of the Holy Spirit, conform our sins, weakened bodies, to the glory of Christ, that we may be the body of Christ for the world.
Amen. And now I'll do a redo. God, our light and our salvation, does not forsake us or leave us with our sin. In Christ, we are forgiven and offered the gift of healing repentance. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Christ has given his life for us. Let us offer ourselves and our gifts to God. O God, we have witnessed your goodness to us. Accept the offering of the work of our hands and use us for the sake of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hey.
shame and reproach gladly spare. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Amen.
Amen. You may have a seat. We're going to do our prayer today a little bit different. We have a prayer request from Debbie for Diane for health issues. So as we do our prayers, let's remember Diane as we lift her up to God. If you would look in your program, we have prayers of intercession. I will start, and you would follow me with, Lord, have mercy. In peace, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the church throughout the world, that all who bear the name of Christ may find true repentance for their sins and walk in the ways of peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the nations of the world, wherever there is poverty, war, or oppression of human spirit, that all people may repent of the evil they do to one another, let us pray to the Lord. For the leaders of the nations, that they might work for the common good of all people, let us pray to the Lord. For those we call our enemies, that we may learn to love them with regard for God's compassion, forgiving wrongs and seeking reconciliation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are sick or in trouble, for the defenseless, for the weak and the poor, that they may find help in their time of need, and that the church may heed their cry, let us pray for the Lord. Loving God, hear the prayers of your people for the sake of our world. With our prayers, accept the dedication of our lives that we may minister to the world in the name of Jesus, through whom we pray. Amen. Let us get together for communion. You all see an insert. So rather than going to the hymnal today, we are going to go from the insert. Invitation. Dear friends, we're going to Jerusalem with Jesus.
He is our pardon, our healing, and our peace.
We will suffer the trial with him resisting evil.
With him we will walk the path to life.
But come first to the table where there is food for the journey, giving thanks to God, our Maker. We are right to praise God, faithful God. You answer sin with grace. You guide our wayward steps toward home. You are mending for the broken, safety for the poor, belonging for the outcast, strength for the weak, and pardon for the sinner. You reveal your kindness in every sorrow, your mercy
even in death. All your creatures see your works. They sing your steadfast love. We too declare your wonder and grace, as with angels and saints we sing, holy, holy, holy. Now, O God, we remember Jesus' moment of personal confession at this time. Let's keep a moment of silence. He fasted and prayed. He was tempted and tried. He was obedient to you and scorned by the powers of this world. He was betrayed and deserted. He died between thieves and was buried in a borrowed grave. He loved us well, loved us to the end, and loved us still now. Holy Spirit, come, make all things new. Bless this bread which you have given and human hands have made it. Let it become for us the bread of life. Bless also this cup, which is the wine and work of human hands. Let it become for us the cup of salvation. Bless us who eat and drink, that in this sharing we might know the living Christ who is with us now and to the end of the ages. Nourish us by these gifts to the willing servants of your world until the new kingdom comes and every creature beholds it. We pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us how to pray, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. But deliver us from evil. If the communion stewards will come forward. Do the bread. Which one of you want to do the bread? The table of the Lord is served, and is served for each one of you. Please come. The blood of the Lamb. God bless you. The blood of the Lamb poured out for you. God bless you. The Lamb poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of the Lamb poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of the Lamb poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of the Lamb poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of the Lamb poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of the Lamb poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of the Lamb poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of the Lamb poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of the Lamb poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of the Lamb poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of the Lamb poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of the Lamb poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of the Lamb poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of the Lamb poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of the Lamb poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of the Lamb poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of the Lamb poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of the Lamb poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of the Lamb poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of the Lamb poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of the Lamb poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of the Lamb poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of the Lamb poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of the Lamb poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of the Lamb poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of the Lamb poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of the Lamb poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of the Lamb poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of the Lamb poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Christ poured out for me and for many. This is the body of Christ broken for you. The blood of the Lamb poured out for you. God bless you. Thank you. No, I got it. Did you already receive communion? If you would go with me, follow me with the prayer of thanksgiving. Let us give thanks. Thank you, merciful God, for the gladness in this bread and cup, for love that cannot die, for peace the world cannot give, for joy in the company of friends, for the splendors of creation, for the mission of justice you have made our own. Give us the gift of this holy communion, oneness of heart, love for our neighbors, forgiveness of enemies, the will to serve you every day, and life that never ends. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now, all together, prayer of illumination for the pastor. Lord, open our word by your Holy Spirit, so we may, like Abraham, make believe your promise to us. Amen. The scripture today is Psalm 51, and I am reading today from the Living Bible. This psalm was written after Nathan the prophet had come to inform David of God's judgment against him because of his adultery with Bathsheba and his murder of Uriah, her husband. So this is Dave speaking. All loving and kind God, have mercy. Have pity upon me and take away the awful stain of my transgression. Oh, wash me, cleanse me from this guilt. Let me be pure again, for I admit my shameful deed. It haunts me day and night. It's against you and you alone I have sinned and did this terrible thing. You saw it all, and your sentence against me is just. But I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. You deserve honesty from the heart. Yes, utter sincerity and truthfulness. Oh God, give me the wisdom. Sprinkle me with the cleansing blood, and I shall be clean again. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And after you have punished me, give me back my joy again. Don't keep looking at my sin. Erase them from your sight. Create in me a new clean heart, O God. Fill me with clean thoughts and right desires. Don't toss me aside or banish me forever from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to other sinners and their guilt like me, they will repent and they will be washed. Don't sentence me to death, O my God. You alone can rescue me. Then I will sing of your forgiveness, for my lips will be unsealed. Oh, how I will praise you. You don't want penance. If you did, how gladly I will do it. You're not interested in offerings burned before you on the altar. It is a broken spirit you want, remorse and penitence. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not ignore. And Lord, don't punish Israel for my sins. Help your people and protect Jerusalem. And when my heart is right, then you will rejoice in the good that I do and in the bullocks I bring to sacrifice upon your altar. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lent is a time, of course, of confession, self-examination also. So I thought when I was reading Psalm 51 that it really has all the components, the words that I would like you to know, but I'm not as smart to say. And you can go to your Bible in your own time and follow Psalms 51 for personal confession. So I named this sermon, Standing Before God in David's Place. Many of you are familiar with David's story with a peasant girl named Bathsheba. In this story, we see a king who abuses his power in such a way as to commit two heinous sins, namely rape and murder. And he thought that he had gotten away with it. In the Bible, especially during those times, murder was considered death to the body, and rape, death to the soul. And this has not changed for us today. Even today, murder is the death of the body, and rape is the death of the soul. I believe that many of you are also familiar with the story of the confrontation between David and Nathan, where Nathan tells the story of a poor man who only had a single lamb, which he loved deeply. Yet a rich man with many came and took the one from this poor man, the only one he had. David becomes outraged at this story and ends with Nathan. And the story ends with Nathan pointing out to David and saying, David, you are the man. As you know, Lent begins this past Wednesday for the Christian church. Lent is a time of remorse, penance, and inward reflection. It is a time that we all can use to get closer to God, to renew our commitment as Christians, to take a good look at who we are in Christ. And I believe that Psalms 51 is a wonderful psalm that we can use during the Lent season. I think we can use the words of David just to bring to mind our own shortcomings, even though our shortcomings are not what David is talking about here. In today's Psalms, we find all we need to confess. We will read about the confession of David, the commitment of David, and David's plea for forgiveness. Let's start with David's confession. David first acknowledges his sin. Sin must be called out. You have to name it if necessary. He said, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and I was brought forth in iniquity." David's confession is honest in that he does not try to excuse his sin as insignificant. He calls it evil on verse 4. David does not try to pass the blaming to somebody else. He takes the blame upon himself. He says, "My sin, my iniquity, and I sin." True confession acknowledges our responsibility. We all have responsibility in our sins, just like we all have responsibility in the circumstances that we find ourselves as time goes by, as we grow older, as things happen. We all have a responsibility. And acknowledging our responsibility, whether it's just a little bit or it's a big one, it doesn't matter. It needs to be acknowledged, because if you don't acknowledge it, it's as if you're just jumping over a very important part of your confession. And that's not how it works. Confession is coming completely clean with the Lord. I always tell my kids, you can fool me, you can fool the people, but you cannot fool God. And even when I start to journal and I'm telling the Lord about the story of the day or how I feel, you know, mistreated or whatever, you know, my mind goes to, yeah, He already knows, and he knows whether I provoked it, whether I pushed buttons, whether I wasn't sensitive enough with the words that I use, whether I neglected to do something, whether I could have done and didn't. There is always, always a responsibility. David tells the Lord, "Against you and you only I have sinned." David realizes the gravity of his sins is larger than what he did to Uriah and Bathsheba. But he finds himself hopelessly outside of the grace of an almighty God. Then David appeals to God's grace. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness." I kind of look at this like saying, "But Mom, you know, yes, I did that and I wrecked the car, but Mom," you know. So it's kind of like he's pleading. And I really believe that this plea comes from the very bottom of his heart. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to who you are, according to your character, not according to what I deserve, but according to who you are." David begins his confession with a plea for mercy. He asks God to have compassion. We, like David, sometimes seek compassion. The compassion we don't give. The compassion sometimes we neglect to pass along to others. The compassion that sometimes, even on purpose, just because we're mad, we hold from other people. Oh, eventually we're going to go back and say, okay, you know, how can I help you and all that. But you need to be aware that God doesn't do that to you. So that's not a model for you to follow. When you have a chance to forgive, you need to forgive. And then you need to wrestle with the Holy Spirit about how you're going to work it through. But when you have a chance to forgive, you need to forgive because you have been forgiven. A true and repenting heart sees nothing but its sins and misery of conscience. Kind of like that little word or that little thing here that just doesn't let you have peace. If you're honest with yourselves, you want to be clean from this. And the only way, the only one that can truly cleanse you is God. David wants God to forget what is unforgettable and to blot out his transgression. He wants to be free from the guilt. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, David, please, for a reprieve from the guilt of his sin, because his sin is always before him. So is ours. We can look to the right and we can look to the left and we can look up and we can try to ignore and we can try not to think about it, but it's still right before us. And one thing, I've said it before, and I just want you to get this, because I just think that this is the biggest piece of gold that you could hold in your hand. The Lord says, as far as the east is from the west, I will remove your sin from you, and I will remember it no more. Before you open your mouth to confess, you already have a guarantee. What's holding you back? Confess. Confess immediately. Confess as soon as you realize. Confess even if you're not sure. Lord, I'm not sure, but let me confess just in case. Because you don't want this hanging around. You'll sort it out later. But we're here together now. Let me just tell you. You have a guarantee that he will remove it. And he will remember it no more. You don't have a guarantee of anything like that in your life but of God. David was asking God to wash the dirty sin off so that he doesn't have to live with it. In his sin, for him, it was like he was wearing a filthy rag. It's the same for us. Sometimes we don't notice we are dirty. Other times, we just get used to our dirty garment. Which one is worse? I wouldn't be able to tell you, but I know that I have done both. And because I have done both, and because I'm not perfect, and because I continue to fall, and because confession is a daily thing, even for the most minute thing that you did not do, or you did say, or you looked another way, or you know, there's something that is not right. That is like walking around with a big stain on you. We wouldn't do that in real life. If we spill coffee, we will go immediately to change our blouse. Why are we walking around with what you know that is not right? Or what you suspect to be wrong. David came to a place where he truly saw how ugly his sin was in the eyes of God. And David feared God. The fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom. Psalms 111, verse 10. Out of this clarity and fear, David confesses to God. His confession just flows out of him. This is how our confession should also flow. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. It's not the fear that God will sap you. You know, like sometimes we like God, Lord, sap them. They look at me wrong. Not that type. But come on, you all know that we all think like that sometimes. Confess it right now. Yes. The fear of the Lord is that you know that it's wrong. That you might not bring the word, the verse, the Bible, the book to mind at the moment, but you know You know that it's wrong. That's the fear of the Lord. Because in your spirit, you have heard the word of God and you know that it's not right. So the fear of the Lord is not that he's going to get back to you, because he's not. It's not that he's going to punish you. No, he's not going to punish you. He's not going to come after you and punish you. He's certainly not going to bring it up to you, you know, like some people do, you know, for 30 years. Well, I remember when, you know, that's, he's not going to do that. But he will let you have the consequences of your choices. Don't confuse that with punishment. That we chose on our own. But we can come to the consequences of our punishment, of our confessions and our choices, with a clean heart, knowing that God is walking right there, holding our hands as we walk through it. There is an old story of a priest who sat in the confessional with a list, and when a parishioner will enter to confession, rather than have the parishioner tell the priest their sins, the priest will ask the parishioners, "Did you do X, Y, and Z?" By the time the priest was done, most of the people will be walking out in tears, having never truly understood until that moment how sinful they were. Those are the sins we get used to. Those are the sins of omission. I can tell you, nobody makes a list of the sins of omission, so you don't need to go and do that now. The Holy Spirit is going to kind of like quicken you, letting you know that's not right. You know, you go back. You should have done this. Don't say no. Or say no. I have something else for you. Don't take less because you're scared. Do not be afraid. Have courage. I am with you. I love you. Nathan did a similar thing for David, and today I want to do it for you. I am that man. None of us are perfect. I stand here today by the grace of God, giving you this sermon that I, with every Sunday when I write it and when I come in here and as I'm praying, I say, "Lord, I have no idea why you trust me to do this, but I do it gladly. And I'm not any better than you. I, contrary to what people think, I do not have a direct line of prayer to God. My prayer is heard just the same as yours. So I am as guilty as you are. I am in need of forgiveness just like you are. I am that man. You are that man." This Lenten season, let us take time to consider the righteousness of God. Of the God we worship, it will drive us to confess as David did. Look at Jesus. Look at what he does. Look at his character. How many things do not match with his character? If it doesn't, confess. "Lord, I need your help. I need Holy Spirit help to change this in my life. I don't know how I got here, but I do know that I cannot get out." That's how we do it. Lent is a time for our sins to be ever present before us. To acknowledge it and to pass it off would be like raping our own soul. To accept and to say, "Well, that's the way I am. That's the way God made me," is not enough. We have an opportunity to repent. We have an opportunity to call out sin by name. We have an opportunity to rebuke it, cancel and nullify. My favorite words when I am trying to rebuke a situation, a place, a thing, a person: use whatever words come to your mind, but use it. Today I call upon you to schedule a time of confession with the Lord and to see its value, particularly during this penitent Lenten season. This is the commitment that David made. But I want you to know, David need not have a 40-day, you know, like we do now. And, you know, he only had the Old Testament, and the Old Testament is full of, stone and fire, you know. So he didn't have what we have now, which is the love of Christ, you know. He believed that if he didn't do what God wanted, if he had offended God, God was going to punish him. He did not understand that it was the consequences of his actions. We have Jesus. Look at Jesus. Look at you. Pick one thing and say, I'm going to work at changing this attitude in me, this sin in me. Call it for whatever it is. I'm going to work at that. That is the easiest way of finding out. That's like the priest saying, have you done Y, X, and Z? Look at Christ. He'll tell you. Are you doing this? No. Let's work on that now. So the commitment of David was very important. It is what we seek next. But I want you to know that Lent is not only about confession of our sins, but also the desire to change. Look at the commitment that David makes to God should God chooses to forgive him. I will teach transgressors your ways. David makes a commitment to God to learn from his sin and to share the lesson he had learned with others. Can that resonate with some of us now? Changing the wording, this could be, let me tell you my story. David shows true remorse with the desire to help others avoid the pain and suffering of separation from God. Church, at any time that you're not confessing your sin to God, you are saying, I am not sinful. And you very well know that this is not true. It is actually impossible for any one of us to ever say that. And I say this with all authority, not given to be my man, but by God, when God says, for you all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Start there if you need to. Lord, I messed up. Let me tell you, he knows, but he needs to hear you. And you need to say it. David commits to tell others about the righteousness of God. This is the equivalent of giving your testimony and sharing in public the righteousness of God. Lastly, David commits to a life of thankfulness and praise. To no longer take for granted the mercy of God, but to praise the God who set him free from the burden of sin. Matthew 12:34 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You have to watch what you say. It's in your heart. Luke 7:47 teaches us that those who have been forgiven much love much. If you understand your own predicament with sin and how much God has done for you, you can tell others. God will give you the words. You don't have to carry the Bible with you. Your story, the way you speak, whether you happen to be blessed with an accent or not, you have something to say. Use your words. To be forgiven is the ultimate example of God's love, and it is the love of Christ that in 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, the love of Christ compels us to. It compels us to forgive. It compels us to love our neighbor with the love of Christ, not our own love. Let this Lenten season be a time of spiritual renewal for you. David asked that God make their relationship what it once was by filling him with the Spirit of God. David asked God to return to him the joy of the intimacy that he had with God. Renew a steadfast spirit in me. In our psalm today, we saw not just a man named David, but ourselves. We need to see ourselves in David. If you do not see some of yourself in David, you have not come to terms with the sins in you. Meditate upon this passage for the next 40 days and consider all those you, we, I have murdered with our words and those we have raped with our thoughts. And then, like David, over the next days of Lent, confess our sins to God. Commit to continue to praise him, sharing the good news of forgiveness with the world and seeking the love and the loving cleansing power of a God that loves you just as you are. Just as you are. And will love you forever. Sin will keep you from having a close relationship with Jesus. Sin will keep you from feeling his presence. Unconfessed sin will keep God's abundant blessings from pouring down on you. It is like having God in your house. And I say having God in your house because you're safe. So you're not outside of God because you're carrying some unforgiven sin. God is in your house, but he refuses to sit next to you. He keeps his distance. You can still see him, but he won't get close. That is how I can tell I need to examine myself. When sin is before me, I am able to see God. But he's not that close. I'm not walking, holding his hand. Yes, I see him. I know that I am in his view all the time. But that to me is a clear sign that there's something that is not right within me. And then, of course, I sit down, I start writing, and then I put it in God's box because I really need to let it go. He will do the same thing for you. I'm not special. I don't have anything special here. All that I have is that I trust God. So I trust God to show me when I'm deviating from what he has set for me. You need to do the same because he wants to do it for you also. Let's use this Lent season to get closer to God in all ways possible. Let's ask him to renew in us a steadfast spirit, a new love for our neighbors, and a new love for the world. Let us pray. Lord God, I trust in you today. I thank you that you keep turning the pages of our life. Every day you give us a new beginning. Help us to ride each new wave of temptation and to overcome the things that can drag our life down. As we look to you, we declare your promise of freedom over our life. We are not lost at this moment because we are in you. But we have gone down the wrong road. And we're having difficult times getting back to where we need to be. We want to do this right, and we want to keep true to ourselves and to you. But it is very hard to fight the demons that pull us back day after day. We need you, Lord. We need you to help us get back on the right path and to stay away from this destructive life that seems to call our name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As always, if there's anyone that would like to accept Jesus in their heart and they have not done so, you can come forward and I'll be happy to pray with you and for you. Or you can see me in my office during the week. I'll be happy, really happy, to speak with you then.
Please turn your books, your Faith We Sing books, to 2152 and stand as we sing together, Change My Heart, O God. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. You are the potter,
the challenges that your people will have to face this week, but I still pray. If we should be tempted by desire for earthly gains, remind us of our citizenship in heaven. If we should be distracted by hunger, satisfy us with your Holy Spirit until we hunger no more. Let us walk in the way of Christ so that our life testifies in deeds and words. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. May the God of reconciliation bless you, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ keep you, and the power of the Holy Spirit strengthen you this day and forevermore. God bless you all.
Shalom to you now, shalom, my friends. May God's full mercies bless you, my friends. In all your living and through your loving, Christ be your shalom. Christ be your shalom.
Interesting service.